The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez. We're going to actually run a rerun of a very recent episode, the one where we talked about Of Mice and Men, because that show is still in its last week. You have two more chances to see that show at the Riverfront Playhouse. So if you get the chance, make sure you do that this weekend. It has two more shows, Friday and Saturday night. And in this episode, we talked to director John Welsh about the show, and we covered the story of Mice and Men on a whole in movies and in the book. So please enjoy. Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And we have a special in-studio guest today, theater legend and all-around amazing man, Mr. John Welsh.
Hi, folks. Hi.
So that was a very interesting song you opened us with.
Yes, it was called Of Mice and Men by Megadeth.
Megadeth? Really?
Yes.
I'm not going to let that go.
Yeah, that's the band.
And all this time I was using Woody Guthrie. Huh?
Right.
See? Whiz. You might have to change your intermission music,
I know
man.
It.
So why'd you play that?
Because we watched over the weekend Of Mice and Men.
That's
the
right.
Classic novelette, I believe. It's not quite
novella.
Like a novella, yes, by John Steinbeck, which has been turned into a movie multiple times. Mm-hmm. But the one we're going to discuss that we watched this weekend is one that I originally saw when it came out in 1992. But it was Gary Sinise and John Malkovich.
And then opening this weekend at our very own Riverfront Playhouse, Mr. John is directing Of Mice and Men.
Yes.
So how's the show shaping up?
I'm ready. I'm ready to see that audience come Friday night preview and then opening night Saturday. And I think the cast is ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get to a point where you just have to have that feedback. You have to have that warm body in the seat and get that feel of acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now we had a little preview of this. We went to rehearsal last night, and man, and you still have a week of rehearsal ahead of you. I'm very excited. This show is real good. You've got two very veteran Reading area actors in the lead roles. You have Russell Pyatt playing George, and Don Tamlin as Lenny. How have they been doing?
Oh, it's been fantastic. You know, early on, before auditions even, I sent out feelers. You know, there are certain people that you hope come to auditions. And I sent a message over to Russell, and I said, you know, I'm doing Of Mice and Men. Think about it. Well, he came back, and he said, well, I think I'm a little too old for George. And I just emphatically, in all caps, said, no, no, you're not. Get over here. You know, Russell was my director in the very first show I did when I hit Reading in 2011. We did All My Sons Together.
Which was amazing.
And
yeah, I remember that. I saw you at auditions, and I'm sitting there going, who is this guy? And all I could think about was the fact that you sounded so much like the actor Stacy Keach.
I've been told that. I've been told that a lot. So here's Russell. We've changed roles, and you always have that in the back of your mind. It's like, gee whiz, yeah, he's a director par excellence. Mm-hmm. His expertise, is there going to be a, will there ever be a conflict? How will he handle direction?
Right.
It has been fantastic.
Wonderful.
I've reached out to him in certain places. He has offered some suggestions here and there, and it's been very collaborative. It's mm-hmm. been terrific. And then you got Don Tamlin, who I've worked with now. This is our third project together. He was Jacob Marley and the Ghost of Christmas Present in 2017's The Christmas Carol.
Now, you were in that one, right?
I played Scrooge in that one, right. And then last year...
Award-winning role for you, I mean.
Yeah. last year, I directed Don in 12 Angry Men.
Which was also very good.
Juror number 3, which was the people associated with the Lee J. Cobb role.
Mm-hmm.
Did a fantastic job.
So you're kind of... your Riverfront's go-to classic drama guy at the moment.
Yeah. It's turned out that way. Well, you know, I've never embraced all of the new theater. I've not kept up. That's the best way to put it. I haven't kept up with all of the new goings on. I'm raised with the traditional American drama. So I've directed Our Town. I've directed, you know, 12 Angry Men. And I've appeared in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof and All My Sons and now directing Of Mice and Men. And I was in Grapes of Wrath as well. So
it's my second
go-around with Steinbeck.
Mm-hmm. How does directing Steinbeck compare with acting Steinbeck?
Oh, boy. I absolutely loved my role in Grapes of Wrath when I played Reverend Casey. There were some prayers that he had that were just absolutely beautiful. Beautiful monologue. So as an actor, I absolutely loved doing Steinbeck. Now, as a director, what I've discovered is, Steinbeck was a man of the people.
Mm-hmm.
He actually worked out on these farms during the Depression for a while. He traveled around with these people and worked there. And he wrote in the vernacular of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be difficult for the actor in this particular play, because I've got intelligent people who, when they read the script and are trying to learn their lines, they're automatically, changing. They're giving it proper grammar instead of the I seen and I done and so on like that.
So they're auto-correcting?
They are. Well put, yes, they are. So we had to have a sit down and say, you're going to have to dumb down the speech a little bit, because that's the way he wrote it.
It's the real life. Damn, autocorrect.
Yeah.
and you have a pretty good supporting cast, too.
Oh, wow.
They're really bringing these characters to life.
I was thrilled. Ian Dalzell, who I'm sure has been on, or you're mm-hmm. friends with, and known Ian for a long time. The man can do feature roles. He can do supporting roles. He just loves being on stage, and he's a credit. He's an asset to every cast he's in. And he's got a supporting role. He's one of the guys in the bunkhouse in this one. Charlie Finkel, I worked with in 12 Angry Men last year. He's the big Mule Skinner Slim.
And he's relatively new to our area, isn't he? Or
is.
At least new to the Riverfront stage.
Yes, he's new to the area and the stage. He first appeared in Jack of Diamonds before he did 12 Angry Men. The guy that I got to brag on that I just love the heck out of is Don Cingrani.
Oh, Don's great.
I saw Don in Somewhere in Between last year.
Yeah, and I had a really good director in that one.
And
That'd be Chris.
I saw his one scene, and he just dominated. He was so perfect. And I told him after the show, I introduced myself, and I said, I'd like to see you audition for Of Mice and Men. Well, sure enough, he came out, and he's got the role of Candy, the fellow that's lost his arm, the old guy that's just barely hanging on the ranch, just swamping out the bunkhouse and the cookhouse. And he is just there's no comic relief per se in
right.
this play. It's dark. It talks about homelessness, hopelessness, and loneliness and fear, quite frankly. But Don's character is a ray of light, because he's approached his character as someone who he's been dealt a bad hand, but the best he can do is make light of it and try to get through it with humor and just being upbeat about it. And he does a terrific job.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I love seeing him on stage. I'm pretty sure Somewhere in Between was his first show with Riverfront, with us. And he played a homeless man who gives a rant about how wonderful New York City is on a subway.
Yeah.
And his speech was a highlight of that scene by far. So I was real happy to see him in that. And he fits the role real well. Cause you're right. He brings that hope and that joy and that levity. But then when he has his, moment where he's like, people don't think I'm worth anything and I am, I can still do these things. You're
exactly.
just, your heart goes out to him.
And then I got to talk about Chloe Freeland.
Oh, Chloe.
The one girl in the cast, she is, she plays Curly's wife, and Steinbeck purposely did not give her a name. I think it's interesting. Everybody else has a name in the play, but she is only referred to as Curly's wife. And it's a tough role. She's a young, I'm picturing her at 17 years old, let's say, just newly married to Curly. And she's described by the other guys on the ranch as a tramp, mm-hmm. as a tart. But she's not. Mm-hmm. And I told Chloe from the get-go, I said, she is a young girl that's lonely. There's nobody else to talk to. All she wants to do is talk to somebody, have a shoulder or have a sympathetic ear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mistaken for flirtatiousness.
Right.
And
that's actually a comment I gave to Chris after we saw the show last night, is that when we watched the movie version of it, that character to me felt more flirtatious. Like, she was actually going out of her way to mm-hmm. tempt these men. And so she was more of the tart character. And not that, you know, what happens to her is justified in any way, but with Chloe's performance of it, I felt that she just wants company. She just wants someone to talk to. And the fact that she meets her end in the way it does, it's even more heartbreaking, yeah. because you sympathize with her. You're like, the poor thing is just trying to make a friend. And so I absolutely got that from her, and I was very excited.
Yeah, good, good. There's so many victims in this play.
Oh, yeah.
So many victims. It's a shame. I know there's a lot of people who've read the book mm-hmm. in high school.
Right.
And I hope they come out and see it performed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a huge difference from reading the printed word and seeing it performed. And the greatest praise I could get, or any of the cast members can get, is if somebody would come up and say, you know, I read this in high school, but it didn't really mean anything to me until I saw it tonight.
Yeah.
You know, and I was able to experience that during Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, and mm-hmm. I hope the guys get to feel that with this play.
Well, what's really interesting about this story in particular is that, like I said, it's been done like at least four times in the movies. It's had a recent Broadway resurgence with James Franco.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And seen it. You know, each time it's different. It's because I think when you get roles that are this serious and the words are there, you can't really stretch it as much as you'd like to, because all the words are important. Like some comedies, you can kind of ad lib or whatever. This one, they're really important. So the only way you can really emphasize is to put your own emotion, your own feelings into how you deliver the lines. And I think that in turn makes every version different.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we watched the movie on Sunday night, and then we saw last night, which was Monday, your rehearsal. And they felt, I mean, they were the same story,
mm-hmm.
same dialogue. They felt different. And not in a bad way. Like, it's like everything, every time you see it, you realize something new about the character, all the characters. You realize from a different perspective that is what maybe like Russell interpreted and is now conveying to me as an audience member, as opposed to what Gary Sinise read and interpreted and conveyed to me as a moviegoer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no definitive hard and fast rule about your characterizations or how they approach the roles. I told Russell, I said, you know, what has to be seen here is, yes, there's this bond, this closeness that the two have, George and Lenny have. But I said, it's important that the audience knows how frustrated you are with mm-hmm. him as well. That you,
yeah.
oh, darn, if it weren't for you, I could be doing so much better. I said, we gotta see that.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta see that. So it's tough for an actor to pull that off, but I think Russell's getting there.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely love your leads in this. And, you know, you mentioned earlier with Russell saying, oh, I think I'm too old for George. I mean, when you really think about it, their age isn't really important. And back then, I mean, Candy is still there working the ranch. So who's to say that George and Lenny aren't older and have been doing this
yeah.
longer?
And I think it lends itself better to the story. You know, it's the longer that these two guys have been friends and bouncing around from farm to farm and ranch to ranch, I think it even adds to the story.
Mm-hmm.
It makes the like I say, the hopelessness, that loneliness, even more profound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So absolutely. So make sure that you head to riverfrontplayhouse.net to get your tickets. So the show opens this Saturday, March 23rd, and runs through April 20th. Shows are Friday and Saturday nights and Sunday matinees. So absolutely get your tickets. This is it's just a stellar show, stellar performance. Your set is beautiful in its simplicity, but you have quite a few locations in it, but they all just flow so seamlessly together.
Mm, thank you.
And, you know, on a stage like Riverfront, it being so small compared to a lot of other stages, that can be difficult. But it's a beautiful put-together show. So
super.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about it when we come back. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, the other actors in the play that, you know, that are in it, and kind of more about the actual what the story of Mice and Men is, because I think we kind of got into the theater aspect of it without talking about what the story entails. So we will see you in a few minutes. You're listening to We're a Little Behind. And there we go. If I can just get that music rolling, we're good.
Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer, announces their new design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. Now with Powerhouse Solar's new design showroom, you can view your property and see your solar design on the spot so you can see what best works for you. Maybe it's a trellis-mounted system, pole-mounted systems, or roof mount. See all the options in Powerhouse Solar's design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. For information, go to powerhousesolar.com or call 275-5600. Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer.
It takes honor. It takes courage. It takes commitment to serve in our armed forces and sacrifice for our freedom. Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, reminding you how we can honor those sacrifices of our men and women. Come join us for the Northern California Veterans Museum annual dinner, banquet, and auction, Saturday, April 27th at the Veterans Event Center, 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. Enjoy a banquet dinner prepared by BC Stone Age Barbecue. Lots of drawings and auction items, including several firearms. All proceeds go straight to the funding of the Northern California Veterans Museum building project. For tickets and information, call 378-2280. That's 378-2280. Keep the date, Saturday, April 27th. We look forward to a great evening with you. Again, call 378-2280.
A true tribute band comprised of the best musicians and performers specializing in a complete Beatles concert production. Join us Friday, April 19th as Wind River Resort and Casino welcomes back Paperback Writer, The Beatles Experience, live in the Event Center. Hear the hits from the Ed Sullivan Show through the colorful Sgt. Pepper's years and on the rooftops of Let It Be. Performed with spot-on vocals, looks, and sounds. Paperback Writer is guaranteed to bring audiences the most precise experience of the Beatles. Remarkably authentic. Amazing vocals. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club or WinRiver.com. Tickets are just $15 each or a table of 10 for $130. A must-see show. Paperback Writer, The Beatles Experience in concert at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center Friday, April 19th. A good time will be had by all. Must be 21 to attend. Download the Wind River app. Concerts are better. Concerts are better. At the river. At the river.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
A timeless classic comes to life on stage in Redding. Come watch as two California workmen travel along the Sacramento River. The story of gruff yet kind-hearted George and his simple and misunderstood friend Lenny. Starring Russell Payette and Don Tamblyn, along with an all-star cast that is sure to tug at your heartstrings. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Of Mice and Men, written by John Steinbeck, directed by John Welsh. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Redding. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, March 23rd through April 20th.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Ooh. Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And we are in studio with John Welsh from Riverfront Playhouse's production of Mice and Men.
Hello and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Great to be here.
So you wanted to talk about the story a little more.
Yeah. So the story of Mice and Men, to give a breakdown of it, is about two workmen who were working in weed, California, and they are then making their way to another ranch because there was a misunderstanding, so to speak, with Lenny. Lenny is a simple man who has obviously some mental incapacitations, and George is his friend who watches after him. It's pretty much his caretaker. And so they make their way to the farm, and the whole thing is about this farm during the Depression that they are working on. And Lenny has an affinity towards soft things. He loves mice and rabbits and puppies, and just basically he has what it would probably be now. He'd probably be one of his issues, I bet, now would he'd be on the spectrum.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because of the touching, what is that, ancillary or
the sensory?
Yeah, the sensory thing. So he would definitely be on the spectrum because of the way he likes to touch soft things, and he's kind-hearted and loving, but he just doesn't understand his own strength. And I think this story is so beautiful because it shows how people react to each other. This is a very interaction between people kind of story. Am I right?
That's true, but don't lose sight of the fact that these two fellas have a plan, have a dream, have a goal in mind.
Mm-hmm.
They want to put enough money together that they can get their own place. You know, they've been for how many years bouncing around working for other people. But they've got an opportunity. George knows a couple who need money, and they've got a little place. And if they can just get the money together, get the jack together, as they say, they can have their own place. They can raise pigs, raise crops, you know, and just live off the fat of the land is a line that pervades things. So these two guys are unique in this bunkhouse, because they have this dream. They have this plan. You've got other people in the bunkhouse who have been jaded and are just willing to accept their lot as it is. They're not bad people. They're not, but they do have, they have lost hope, and they are lonely people. They don't share with one another what their goals might be, or what their dreams might be, or even where they've come from or where they want to go. So it makes George and Lenny unique. They've got the dream, they've got the goal, and then because of Lenny's affinity for soft things, that is all shattered. It's dashed.
And there's a lot of other people who are affected in this too that we haven't touched on yet. There's you mentioned Curly's wife, but we haven't mentioned Curly, who is the boss's son. And there's the boss, and there's also Crooks. Mm-hmm. And Carlson, correct?
Right, exactly.
I think those are the only characters that I think we hadn't
mentioned yet. Yeah. Yeah. Curly's a tough guy. As Candy says, oh, he's pretty handy in the ring. He's won a few bouts in the and he likes to prove himself all the time. He's just one of those hot-headed kids, and he's just gotten married, so a little jealousy there. He's keeping an eye on his wife. You know, you're on a ranch full of men, and he's got to keep an eye, got to try to find out where she is at all times. Carlson is another mule skinner, and he's a tough character. He's, you know, Slim, who is sort of the mentor, the old hand on the place. He talks about what happens with some of these guys in the bunkhouse and on the farms when they're alone so long, they get mean. Well, this is sort of what I envision Carlson as. He's just not opened up to anybody. He's selfish. He's grouchy. He's testy. He's mean. And he takes it out on poor Candy at one point in the play, and makes Candy a victim, just like Lenny becomes a victim and Curly's wife becomes a victim. Crooks is an interesting character. He's the stable buck. And I'll have to admit that we had a hard time in this area. There's not a lot of actors of particular ethnicity.
That's don't have a good way to say that, yeah.
We don't have those people to come out in droves to try out for the play. So we had to adjust a little bit the character of the stable buck. Instead of being an African-American, I changed it to a half-black, half-white, referred to as a mulatto at one point. But Joran Antero Toll, a young man who's been on the Riverfront stage a number of times, in supporting roles mostly. He had one starring role in A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum a few years ago, but he's generally just a terrific character actor, and I asked him if he would take on this very serious role, and he jumped at the chance. He said he'd be happy to, and he's done a terrific job. There's one scene in particular in his room where he and Lenny talk about this loneliness. He tells Lenny, he says, you know, you're lucky. You've got George. George can just talk all he wants to you, and you don't seem to care a bit. But it's the idea that you've got somebody to talk to, where he doesn't. This is Crooks. He has to be in the bunkhouse at dark. In his own room at dark. He can't go in the bunkhouse to play cards. He's not allowed to because of his color. So it's another sensitive victim in the play.
And layers of just issues and storytelling are mm-hmm. in this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think I've ever seen Joran do a dramatic role. I think I've only seen him in comedies, and he does a really good job.
He does. He jumped at the chance. He said, "I got to." He says, "I've got to round out my resume," something to that effect. So.
And even when he's not the one delivering the dialogue, and he's just sitting on his bed, and he's got his book out, being studious, it's still, you know, he's got that commitment to to living this life for these few moments on stage. And, everybody's performance in this has been real, real impressive, and I absolutely get your tickets to this show. This is a great show, a classic Californian tale, and it's one of those shows that will never get old. It will never fade away.
Glad you said that, California tale. Boy, you referenced so many places that you'll recognize. You talked about Weed. The guys are raised in Auburn. Mm-hmm. They talk about Sacramento, San Francisco. Play takes place in the Salinas Valley near Soledad.
Yeah.
Soledad/Solitude.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Nice one, Mr. Steinbeck.
Yes.
I see what you did there. I just can't praise it enough. It's such a wonderful production, and everybody should come out and see it.
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll take another break, and when we come back, we'll actually talk about the movie of Mice and Men. So we will take another break. And
so thank you so much, John, for coming and visiting with us.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm very proud of this show, so any chance I can get to promote it and get the word out, happy to.
Yes, go see the show.
Yes.
It's very good, very worth it. You will love and relish every penny of the ticket price you pay to go see this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so stick around. We will be right back because you are listening to We Are a Little Behind. And I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And thank you again, John Welsh.
You betcha.
A timeless classic comes to life on stage in Redding. Come watch as two California workmen travel along the Sacramento River. The story of gruff yet kind-hearted George and his simple and misunderstood friend Lenny. Starring Russell Payette and Don Tamblyn, along with an all-star cast that is sure to tug at your heartstrings. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Of Mice and Men, written by John Steinbeck, directed by John Welsh. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Redding. Showtimes Friday and Saturday 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, March 23rd through April 20th.
Coming to the Cascade Theater May 1st, Storm Large and her band, Le Bonheur. Vocalist Storm Large's stage persona is bigger than life. She shot to fame as a finalist on Rockstar Supernova, then began touring with Pink Martini as their second vocalist. She brings her luscious and fierce vocals back to the Cascade with her band May 1st. Don't miss Storm Large May 1st at the Cascade. Get tickets at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Mako is back with another great deal, giving your car that shiny new Mako makeover. They're having a tax time special. Get 33% off a standard paint package. Bring your tax refund to Mako and make that faded, scratched, and weathered paint job look great again at affordable prices. Get quality, quick turnaround times, and all work is backed by the National Mako Warranty. Mako accepts all insurance and offers financing OAC with interest-free loans for up to a year. Come in today for a free estimate. Mako, America's Body Shop, on Crossroads Drive or MakoReading.com. Uh-oh. Better get Mako.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we are talking about John Steinbeck's classic novella, right? Novella?
I think so.
Of Mice and Men.
Of Mice and Men.
And, you know, like I said, we just got done talking to John Welsh about the Riverfront production, which is a stage version, obviously, which is amazing to see. I mean, anytime you can see people on stage, you know, becoming new people, it's just an amazing thing. But it's been done, like I said, about four times in the movies. One time in 1939 with Lon Chaney Jr. as Lenny. Mm-hmm. And Burgess Meredith as George. And for those of you who might not know who those people are, Lon Chaney Jr. has been in the classic monster films as the Mummy, and Burgess Meredith is, of course, the Penguin from the Adam West Batman series. He's also
Rocky's coach.
Yeah, Mickey, Rocky's coach from Rocky. So, and then it's been done most recently on stage, aside from locally, but on Broadway, like I said, with James Franco playing George.
Yeah.
And it's just an amazing story. And the one that I love the most that I always refer to is the 1992 version, which stars Gary Sinise as George and John Malkovich as Lenny.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen John Malkovich in a lot of things, but this is to me is his role.
Oh,
like anytime
yeah.
I think of John Malkovich, I think of him as Lenny from Of Mice and Men.
Yeah, I mean both of them do such an amazing job, and Gary Sinise actually also directed that this movie, the 92 adaptation.
Yes.
It's the only movie he's ever directed.
Yeah.
And honestly, Mr. Sinise, do more.
Seriously.
Because it's so well done, and it really pulls you into the story, just the scene setting, the costumes, everything. It's just beautiful. We watched a video the other day about Bohemian Rhapsody won Best Editing for the Oscars this year. Uh-huh. And this video said, but did it really deserve it? And so he went into this scene in Bohemian Rhapsody that he's like, this could have been edited so much better. And he explained everything, and then he kind of recut the scene, and you're like, oh, yeah, no, that flows nicer. And I had never really paid attention to editing before. Like, I knew it was a category, but it's not really anything I ever gave much thought to. Of course, except last week when we were talking about The Haunting of Hill House, when one episode in particular was just edited beautifully. But anyway, so we
– Or not edited.
Or not edited. That's true. So we watched this video the day we watched Of Mice and Men. I mean, completely didn't have anything to do with each other. We just happened to be watching YouTube videos. But as I'm watching this movie, I was thinking that.
I was too.
Yeah, I was thinking the editing, and I was paying attention to the cuts and – you know, the different scenes that were used. And I was like, wow, this is flowing really well. This looks really nice. Every cut scene has a purpose, you know, every expression and dialogue given and view that the audience is given. So it's a really well-made picture. And the people in it just do an amazing job.
So we were watching it, and of course, you do what you do.
I do.
Which is the looking at the trivias and facts on IMDb.
Which there aren't much.
No, but there's a few, and one of the interesting ones is that it's such a faithful adaptation that there is only 15 points.
15 differences.
From the actual book.
From book to movie. 15. That's mind-blowingly small.
Mm-hmm.
That there are only 15 differences. And even as we were watching the play here on the Riverfront stage that you should absolutely get your tickets for at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Like I recognize the dialogue. I said, like, this is exactly what they said in the movie too. So I'm assuming that most adaptations have a very similar dialogue script.
Well, that's because Steinbeck wrote it to be staged.
Yeah.
And, honestly enough, the movie this one in particular that we're talking about, the screenplay was done by Horton Foote,
mm-hmm.
who wrote a play that I directed called The Trip to Bountiful. And honestly, that guy must have had a super easy job. Because honestly, honestly, it was probably instead of move stage left, it's probably like move camera right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like honestly, like there's not much there that he changed. So this whole screenplay thing, I'm like, I don't know a lot about screenplay writing, but I just assume that it had to be pretty easy on this one.
On this one, yeah, in particular. But yeah, it's such a good story. And you know, this is one of those books that, you know what, if you haven't read it, take some time. It's not very long.
No.
It's a very short little, it's a novella. It's not even a full novel. But the staging of it, it's just so beautiful. It's just such a beautiful story about these two guys that only have each other to depend on.
You know,
they're the only things they have in the world is each other and their sleeping bags on their back.
One of the things we didn't get to touch on while John was here, but from seeing the rehearsal and knowing what the show's going to be, is the lighting in this one too.
Mm-hmm.
It's very precisely well lit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a superbly staged play. But the movie itself was just so well done. And, I mean, you remember probably Gary Sinise as Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump.
Right.
But this is the one he really should be remembered for.
Mm-hmm.
Like you felt everything that they were going through. He did a fantastic job directing to get a performance out of himself, but out of others, too. Mm-hmm. And John Malkovich, just because Lenny is a hard character.
Right.
Because, you know, there's a fine line between playing a character and doing a caricature and making it almost, I don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, almost, what's the word I'm looking for? Where you are being, not mean, but,
I have no idea what you're trying to say.
Not disrespectful, but like, anyway.
Like you, making fun of him?
Yeah, exactly.
Belittling?
Yeah, and he balances it so well. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't make him, like, he's not making fun of mentally challenged people with this role.
Right.
Like, he doesn't overdo it. He mm-hmm. doesn't, you know, he doesn't make, like, a ton of, you know, funny faces that he doesn't need to sell the fact that he's simple or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's what I'm looking for. And it's, he just does it so well. Like, the emotion that he puts into it,
mm-hmm.
like, he is spot on throughout the entire movie.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is one of my favorite performances of his. And yeah, I've seen him quite a bit, and he can be a little crazy, little out there. But in this one, he is focused, and he's it's just incredible.
Complete detour, by the way.
Oh yeah.
No. Complete detour. I'm gonna do right now. Derailment of thought. John Malkovich actually made a movie recently that will not be released for 100 years.
What?
Yeah.
What? Why?
So they filmed it, and it takes place 100 years from now. And so it is not going to be released or done until and it's not going to be released for anyone to see. It's, like, locked up in a vault. It's not going to be released for anyone to see until 100 years from now. So most of the people who – so all the people who are in it are probably going to be dead. All I mean – anyone who remembers it, so they have to leave this for other people because, I mean, even babies born now are going to be 100 years old by the time this thing is released.
Right.
So this is left for a whole different generation.
Yeah, so on IMDb, it shows a release date of November 18th, 2115
uh-huh.
in France.
Uh-huh.
And the content of this film is currently a secret due to be revealed only when the title is released in 2115.
So none of us will ever see it.
No.
So unless
right now it's just called 100 years.
Yeah. So
that's an interesting strategy.
Isn't that? I mean, think about that though. That is mind blowing that no one that we're talking to right now is going to see this movie.
So it is sealed in a bulletproof safe with a time lock set to open in 2115.
That I just it's like anything that's unobtainable. You want it so bad now.
So Louis XIII will give out 1,000 metal tickets that will allow the receiver's descendants to go to see the screening in 2115.
Yeah. That's a thing.
It's produced for Remy Martin, who makes 100-year-old cognac.
Yep.
That's insane.
You weren't aware of that?
No, I had no idea. Why would you do this?
I don't know, but don't you want to see that?
Yeah.
Right?
But now I never will, so now it's just mean.
Yeah, it's amazing to think that exists.
How weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they don't have name. They don't have character names either. So Shuya Chang is Hero Girl, John Malkovich is Hero, and Marco Zaror is Bad Guy.
There you go.
and that is the only cast.
So is John Malkovich a superhero? Is he like a swashbuckler? Does it take place in the future? No one.
No one knows. Interesting.
It's like a time capsule. What I've been aware of is that it's them that they wrote this to take place currently in the future. So basically, it's kind of like how Back to the Future 2 predicted things in 2015
that we didn't get.
Right. But that's kind of what they're doing now. They're going to see how close they can get, and if anyone has a problem with it, they can take it up with their cold dead corpse.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Were you not aware of this?
I had no idea.
Yeah. So I thought that was an interesting thing. So, yes, when you say John Malkovich has done some weird things, that comes to top of mind.
That absolutely comes to top of mind. Wow. Interesting.
Right? Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he also wrote it.
What?
John Malkovich.
Oh, he wrote the movie?
He wrote it, and Robert Rodriguez directed it.
Okay, this gets so much weirder.
Right?
So think about it. You know what it probably is? I guarantee you. It's probably a – no, I don't guarantee you, but it's probably a rough draft of Alita.
Yeah.
Where John Malkovich took over – or Christoph Waltz took over John Malkovich's role.
Maybe? Yeah. I don't know.
So in 100 years, they're going to open it up, and it's going to be like Alita demo track. Like, there it is.
There it is.
Although Alita takes place in, what, 2400 something or other? Yeah. So, you know, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back. We'll get back on track talking about Of Mice and Men and some a few other things, too.
Okay.
But, let's take a break, and we will talk about that more when we come back. Well, I'll let the 3 minutes blow your mind. All right. You're listening to We're a Little Behind.
Have you heard? If you're in the game, well, then the stroke's the word.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name, knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Gather your friends and spend a hilarious night with Saturday Night Live's funny man, Rob Schneider, at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Thursday, May 30th.
People in their 40s are always putting on their sweatpants with no intention at all of working out. You want to go out, honey? Yeah, let me put on my sweatpants.
A household name and bona fide comedy star, Rob Schneider is well known for his trademark blend of character and comedic acting and has become one of the most popular touring acts in comedy. Schneider created and currently stars in Real Rob, which focuses on the day-to-day hijinks of Schneider's real life. The series marks the first time any actor has ever written, produced, starred in, directed, and financed an entire season of a television show. You will not want to miss this hysterical night of stand-up live at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center Friday, May 31st. Tickets for this night of laughter start at just $25. For tickets or to reserve your stay in our hotel, call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Must be 21 to attend this show. For more information, download the Wind River app.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Are you looking for a place with a fun and relaxing atmosphere to unwind after a long workday? Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar has just what you're looking for. Easy to find at 2155 Hilltop Drive. Let owners Robert and Rhonda Hansen welcome you to your new favorite spot in town. Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar has a great selection of beer on tap, fine wines, weekly live music, and a food menu that's currently the best-kept secret in Reading. Open Tuesday through Saturday starting at 4. Clean, classy, and relaxing. Head to Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar. By far, the friendliest bar.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we have been talking about Of Mice and Men.
Mm-hmm.
And now, have you fully recovered from the 100-year-from-now movie that we are not going to be able to see?
I think so. That's just so weird.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Weird. Weird. Hollywood does weird things.
It does. Like, you want to know the kind of the pitch meeting for that one, don't you?
I would love to sit in on the pitch meeting for that one.
Like, okay, here we go. So this is us, and we're going to talk about. So here we go. I got an idea for a movie. It's a movie that none of you will see, but you're going to give me money to make it now.
Why would we do that?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
So, you know, I think we've run the course of talking about one particular movie.
Yes.
What exactly should we talk about now?
I think we should talk about our newest obsession.
Which is? We
keep having new obsessions.
Yes.
And our obsession du jour is Pitch Meeting.
Pitch Meeting.
Which is a series of internet videos put out by Screen Rants.
Yes.
And it is just about a pitch meeting between a writer and a executive at a movie studio. Presumably the executive that makes decisions on every movie ever made in the history of time.
And one screenwriter for all of
and
them.
And one screenwriter writes them all.
So now there is over 120 of these videos right now.
And they are hilarious. Each and every one of them.
Yes.
So it's one guy. One guy plays both parts in this. So he's talking to himself. So he dresses up. When he is the screenwriter, he is holding a script and he has glasses on. And then when it cuts to him as the executive that he's pitching to, it's just him in like a sports jacket. And the premise of the show is he pitches these movies and points out all of their flaws and just justifies them by saying, well, I know this just, that's because the movie has to happen.
But why would he do that? I don't know. Fair enough.
Yeah. And,
Whoopsie.
So their catchphrase, they have a couple, but the big one, that appears in every episode is.
Are you going to be able to memorize this?
It's super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
There it is.
And so it's always like, oh, so this plot device is going to be really difficult, right? No, it's super easy. Barely an inconvenience. We're just going to do this. And he's so good at pointing out all the flaws in these movies. And it's just so funny. And then when a character does something that you don't really feel has motivation, it's, well, the executive says, well, why would you do that? And he's like, I don't know. And the executive replies with, fair enough. And just green lights all of these projects. And, oh, it's so funny.
And they always end it with a, well, obviously the logic behind this says that this wouldn't happen. And then it cuts to a story, a real story, a movie story about it really happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Batman versus Superman got really dark and Superman got really dark with Zack Snyder, they're like, so, you know, obviously we can make The Watchmen because people want to see a dark superhero. But we would never do that with an actual superhero franchise that is known for being bright and sunny. It cuts to Zack Snyder to direct a grittier, darker Superman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this guy, he's good. He's super talented. I really like it. And once they did a movie from the 70s. Do you remember what movie it was that they
Halloween.
Were? Oh, that's right. They were doing Halloween. He was pitching that. And so the executive starts out, so you have a 70s movie to pitch me? And the writer's like, well, it's odd for you to specify the decade, but yes, I do. He's like, and it's going to make us lots of 70s money? Well, you could just say money.
So it's always pitched, obviously, that before the movie is made, so to speak.
Right.
So he does this on a green screen, and they always change out the room behind him. The only changes they make is to the computer.
Mm-hmm.
So when they went to the 70s, it was a typewriter, but it's always like, if it's like Die Hard, it was like a very fat 80s computer. You know, if it was early 2000s, they'd have one of those really cool looking Macs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like the computer always changes to show what time they're in.
Yeah, it's super fun. So, yeah, so if you want something fun and lighthearted to watch on YouTube, make sure that you look up Pitch Meeting. Like I said, it's put out by Screen Rants, and it's entertaining. We fell down that rabbit hole this weekend. We watched a lot of those videos.
I think we got through about half.
Yeah.
That probably.
And then he even does a pitch meeting about pitch meeting. So for his 100th episode, he pitched his own idea, and it was amazing.
It is, yeah. I laugh so hard, and it's just fun because, yeah, it points out all of the plot holes and problems
mm-hmm.
with a lot of movies.
With tons of movies. I mean, they even pitch Home Alone, and the executive's like, well, yeah, we can do this. It's not like it's going to become a holiday classic.
And it becomes a holiday
classic.
And,
of course, it becomes a holiday.
So we've got about 2 minutes left. This episode has been really fun. We've talked a lot about Riverfront Playhouse. And speaking of which, this weekend – since Meisman opens Sunday and the following Monday. Just get that out there so that way people know you are directing a play.
I am. It's going to be my first, my directorial debut.
Yes, and you will be directing the complete works of Shakespeare, Abridged.
The complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged.
Yes.
And so it is a play about three actors who go through all of William Shakespeare's plays in about a two-hour format. It's a great show. It's so fun. And I don't have a strong Shakespearean background. I've never really been a fan.
And you don't need to.
And you don't need to. But I've actually have a copy of this show on DVD that I've watched for years. And I loved it from the first moment I watched it. So when it became available for us to do at Riverfront, I'm like, yes, we have to do this. I love this show.